Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Well, another tough week, and the numbers get worse, right? I'll talk about that a little bit in the next hour. It's interesting. What I really kind of want to talk about is us, you know, our own spirit right now. And it's interesting to hear that what we all know. Domestic violence is up. It may not show up in the numbers. It's like, I don't need numbers. You know, everybody's just a little on edge. And if you're already on edge, it's going to be bad, right? It's going to be tough. Anyway, I'll start off in the next hour monologue and talk a little bit about, I guess, what's on my heart and in my mind right now. But right now, I think it'd be best with the time we have left in this hour to go ahead and take some calls. So let's go ahead and start with Jim. Jim, thank you for joining us. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave.
Good.
How's it going?
Good.
Well, you were mentioning helicopter money. Now, I can only hope that they're using Bell Helicopters, which is a subsidiary of Textron, which I happen to own. Well, anyway, I know that I am most of the time flippant, but God willing, I don't have any problems. I seem to be virus-free and no debt, so I don't have any problems. So, pity goes out to everybody else who does have problems.
I know, and I think that's part of it, too. I'll talk a little bit about it, about, you know, the pressure that people are under. But and it is. This is not a time to lecture people about getting their act together, but it also is a time to reflect on, do you have a little bit of a cushion for when the unexpected happens, right? Because the unexpected is expected to happen. We just don't know what unexpected event will.
Well, okay. I take this personally. I think it's a plot. The world is plotting against me, forcing me to get internet, which I happen to do. I scheduled CenturyLink to hook me up to internet. I no longer have access to free internet, which I'm paying for through property taxes at the library. I wonder if we're going to get a rebate for all the things that shut down that our property taxes are paying for.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't hold your breath, Jim. Just a thought.
Well, another thing, Dave. Now I know that you are a big advocate of bicycles. This is a great time for people to get out of their freaking cars, which they're supposed to be doing anyway, and ride a bicycle. Well, I mean, a bicycle is a solitary thing, only fresh air and sunshine.
Yeah. I hear you, Jim, and I think that it's really good. I know we were out on the Greenbelt a little bit yesterday, and it's not crowded by any stretch, and people are careful. But it also struck us when we were out there, too, that people aren't smiling like they used to, literally, that we both noticed it. Yeah, it's like people aren't looking at each other. Like, if I look at you, you might give me the virus, you know. It's a weird time. Oh. But, yeah, I agree. I think people have to get in the outdoors. I've been talking about it pretty loudly. We do some conference calls, you know, Zoom meetings, if you will, for our clients, people on, and it's part of almost every one we do is get outside. You can't see your grandkids, but you're dying sitting inside watching the TV. And
well, you know, yesterday I was in Albertsons, and I see this friend of mine, this girl, really attractive girl, like 24, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking about this 6 foot thing. So I start talking to her, and you know, I'm kind of backing up a little bit, but she invades my space, so to speak, to about 4 to 3 feet. But who am I to complain?
Right. What you're saying is an attractive girl invaded your space. Is that what
you're... Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay,
and
Jim.
So, you know, I'm not going to say, well, I'm not going to whatever.
But, I hear you.
All but right, anyway, you. I mean, things are... Well, I mean, see, for us, it gets to us investors, you know, because dividends have to be cut. Boeing's cut, Carnival, Delta, to name three.
Yeah.
And so that's where so-called retired fat cats, mm-hmm. you know, start feeling it kind of, you know.
Totally. I hear you. No, that's true.
But anyway, I mean, things are great with me, so hang in there and hopefully get a bunch of calls.
I hope so, too, Jim. Thank you for your call. You have
Take
a good rest of the day.
And, I don't know. You know, they say, for instance, in France, if you smile at somebody, it's a negative. But here, I do it all the time. You know, you smile at somebody to try to get a reaction back, another smile. So anyway.
Hey, you can't help it if you smile at them. It's just, yeah. People smile. They smile back.
At least that doesn't transport any kind of a virus. But you know what? My fear, and you know, my fear goes along with technology. I mean, technology has begun to separate us, even though we think it's the World Wide Web and all this crap, but it's separating us. And this is an exact, this goes right into the agenda, you know. People are carriers. Now, all we need to do is hunker down in our individual basements and have teleconferencing. You know, who wants to see humans anymore?
Right.
Except on a screen.
Right. So. Well, we do, and we're going to get back to it, but right now we're trying to do whatever it is we're trying to do. We'll see.
But the thing is, you talk about hotspots, you know, and that Idaho should do what Idaho can do. But the problem is, everybody's going to want to move from the lousy hotspots to Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not exactly, I don't think, a benefit. So, anyway.
No, that's true.
Well, take care.
Thanks, Jim. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Let's go to Bob in Nampa. Bob, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. How are we doing this morning?
Excellent. Excellent.
Hey, we've done business for many years, but anyway, you were making a I'm in the rental business. I'm one of the evil landlords. And you were making a comment a little earlier where landlords should be, well, expected or at least willing to forego rents and what have you. You know, if I walk into Albertson's to buy a can of beans, they kind of expect to be paid before I go out the door with my can of beans. Why is rent any different? It's a commodity, just like that can of beans or a sack of potatoes.
Right, right on.
And it just, it seems, I don't know why it is. People, and I've been in this business for nearly 30 years, owning and managing property, and people have a special resentment for paying rent. They just do. It's always been that way. But, you know, I mean, it's true. They understand they've got to make their payment on the big screen TV or their car or whatever, or they'll come get them. They understand that. But they feel that the landlord should be the last, be willing to be the last guy to get paid.
And, no, it's a fair point. You know, I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think you're right. Generally, as a society, the landlord is not thought of as getting paid first.
Well, you know, and none of my owners, and I've got quite a number of owners scattered throughout the country and some of them throughout the world, and, you know, they're not multi-billion-dollar corporations. Most of them are a husband and wife or an occasionally a single person that owns a few rentals or whatever. And, they've got a mortgage that's due on the 10th of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they be willing to provide a interest-free loan for whatever period of time? And one of the interesting things I see is more often than not, when someone gives you their long, sad story, and it's usually a well-practiced long, sad story, and there's exceptions to that.
Sure.
But you know what? Everybody in the house has got the newest cell phone. They got new tattoos. There's four big screen TVs in the house. There's, you know, two new cars in the driveway. They seem to be able to come up with the money for that.
No, it's absolutely true. You have a really good point. It is hard. That's a really fair point. And I don't think that people should. My comment, I hope it apparently came across wrong, and I'm assuming it was during the recording from with Kevin. Is that what you're talking about?
I believe it was, yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry. When I come in the studio, I can't hear anything anyway until they get it changed over. So I didn't hear it, and so I'm going to say I thought, or what I do mean to say, is that where they can, somebody like me that has a retail, I'm a landlord in my building as well, and uh-huh. and they can't work right now. And I think that what I was trying to say was where we can, we try to give a little bit of time so that the people don't have to worry about it. I don't think we're going to have to worry about it because small business is obviously able to go get loans beginning Friday, right?
Well, we can have a whole long discussion whether that should be done or not, too. But as far as that goes,
there are a lot of people out there that are reaching out and trying to help out. And I understand there are different circumstances. And they are, but at the same time, you're absolutely right. What if somebody's living on that? You know, what if they are, or they need it for their mortgage payment?
Sure. Well, back in 2008 or in those years, when the economy went down, and we were begging people to rent places.
Yep.
I had properties literally set empty for a year.
Yep.
That we just could not rent them.
Yep.
You know, I don't remember anything on the 6 o'clock news or in the newspapers or on, you know, radio programs saying, you know, this is just terribly unfair to these poor landlords that they can't even cover their mortgages with the rents they can command right
yeah.
now. We should come up with some program to take care of them.
Yeah.
You
know, it's a fair point.
I hope, and it's never going to happen, but I sincerely hope that maybe this will be a little bit of a wake-up call for some people, and that they'll actually realize, you know, that paycheck is not going to be there every 2 weeks, that you do have to put a little bit of money away and prepare for, you know, the unexpected.
Well, or even the expected, right? Because the unexpected is expected. You just don't know what it's going to look like. Is it going to be you get sick for a month? Is it going to be that one of your kids gets sick for a month? Who knows, right?
Yeah.
A pandemic.
Sadly,
that wasn't probably
it
in my top
happen.
List of things that could go wrong. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, just my 2 cents worth for the day.
It's worth more than 2 cents. I appreciate it. It's a very good point.
Have a good day, Dave.
All right, you too.
All right, bye
now. Bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We have to take a quick break here. Hey, we are available at 580-KIDO. We're also available at dave@petsofinancial.net. And I got to say this, too. I want to tell somebody out there that sent an email. Goodness gracious, it just literally disappeared. So if I never answered your question, that's who I'm talking to, okay? Or I never emailed you back during the week, which I meant to, send that email again. I swear, it just went away. All right, we're going to be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We would love to have your calls. We've got plenty of time left in this hour if you have a comment or a question. We'd love to try to answer that for you. And also, if you do prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. All right. So I wanted to touch on a couple of things last week. Obviously, the jobs numbers were, they weren't disappointing. They were off the charts, right? I mean, they're just, the numbers are so big. So big. I mean, we had, 3 million the week before, 6 million claims numbers this week. And although the market was down for the week, it was just like, okay, these numbers are, as they say, they're worse than expected. I don't know how you would expect anything, except if you shut down the entire country, you can't go to a restaurant, you can't go to a sporting event, you can't gather in groups anywhere, can't go to a concert, nothing. Nothing. Can't go to a movie. I don't know why it would be unexpected, and I really don't think the market cared. The number was going to be huge. Huge, more huge than you thought, less huge than you thought, would not have moved the market. The number's just huge. It's off the charts. The only thing that the market is doing is thinking forward, not what has happened. Otherwise, you know, we rally because the ISM number was really good. Or first quarter GDP when it comes out, it's going to be growing. Does anybody think we're growing right now? Nobody cares what happened. Nobody cares what's even happening right now, unless it's unexpected. But we don't care about the expected. And I guess this is kind of a pre, if you will, to what I'm going to start talking about in the next hour. Is that We are in a circumstance where it's so difficult to get out of the moment. How do you get out of the moment right now and think that there's hope? How do we get out of that? Well, the market kind of shows that, or does it? And then you find somebody over here who's super negative going forward. Somebody over here that's more positive. Who's right? Are we going to have 200,000 deaths in the United States? I would venture that your opinion's already been made up. No or yes. And it's probably not going to change except for some time. And the new charts and graphs and whoever you look at, read, think about, dwell on, however you ingest your news. What is the source? Because there's an awful lot of, if you will, happy talk out there. That's what people who are in the doom and gloom crowd think it is. Happy talk of 6% of the people out there already have it. That's right. 6% of our population, maybe more, already have had the virus or have it now. More than 6%. I have a hard time arguing with the numbers. They're better with numbers than I am. I'm not bad with numbers at all. I understood what their argument was. I happen to agree. Doesn't make me right. Doesn't make them right. And a slight change in that, compounded over the days, compounded by the billions of people in the world, is a huge number. Huge number. Little differences are big. Little differences are big. So we're all trying to fight our way through this. We are. I'll talk a little bit more about that. I want to talk about some examples of people and where they're at, because sometimes that helps us relate to and understand. Yeah, maybe that's kind of like me and it doesn't make sense, or that's kind of like me and it's a better way of reacting. Tough week in the news. Next week won't be better. Or will it? We already accept it's going to be not any better. I think it already is. I just don't think it's leaking in. Not yet. Not yet. These therapeutics show promise, don't they? They don't cure everybody. It's not a vaccination. Just kind of seems to be working, doesn't it? Here's, and anyway, I'm going to come back to that. Let me talk about one other thing, because this is the time where the equity indexed annuity pimps get to strut, or do they? With interest rates collapsing, it appears that I got a phone call today from an annuity company, or today, yesterday. You know, they're all locked down, so calls to give me an update of what's going on in the world. Because obviously, whether we do annuities or not, people come in our doors with them. We stay in touch. So it's very kind of them, actually, because we don't produce much for them. But at the same time, he wanted to give me an update, and I thought it was very, very good. He says, I know how you feel about equity indexed annuities. I thought I'd let you know out there what's going on. And I said, oh, good, thank you. He said, all the caps now are 3%. That's the cap. That's the best you can do. Let me see if I get this right. So what you're telling me is you'll tie your money up for 10 years, and the best you can do on a one-year basis is 3. If the market is down, you get 0. Therefore, somewhere between 0 and 3 is your rate of return. And if you want to take your money out in 3 years, you're going to get back less than what you put in? Yep, that's exactly what's going on out there. I see, you've got to be kidding me. Who would buy this garbage? Nobody would if they understood. Nobody. But once again, hats off to the Department of Insurance in the state of Idaho, for listening and hearing many voices out there saying, this is wrong. To go on the radio, to go on, to have all kinds of brochures that proclaim some 8% or 7% or 7.2 magic rate of return, which is not true. And now requiring it passed. I don't know if I told you this, but it passed. It passed. And I'm sure Governor Little will sign off on it, or already has. There's no question he will. It was a huge win for consumers, because here's what happens now. No more lying. No more exaggeration. All advertising and literature is subject to approval, must be approved by the state of Idaho. So when it says you get market participation with no risk, those that know would go, that's just not true. That's simply not true. If the market does 25%, you get 3%. That's not market participation. That's a joke. That's just not true. If you're going to say that, then what we need to do is correspondingly, in bright, giant, not small print, huge letters, take all of that away. To explain, the best you can do in any year is 3%. The worst you can do is 0%. Your rate of return over the next 10 years, and you can't get your money out. You can't change your mind. Sorry about that. That's the way it works. I have a 10% commission to walk away from, pal. So you're going to be penalized if you want to pull that out. And we're probably going to give you about 1.5%. Wow. Isn't that crazy? Crazy. So as they talk about the Wall Street casino, et cetera, there's other alternatives out there if you're scared of the market. There really are. Don't even think about, when those restaurants open back up, going to one of those dinner seminars. Don't do it. All right, we're going to come back and talk a lot about how frightened we all are. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I hope you all are safe, and I know some of you probably aren't. I understand. I had a discussion this past week with a client who is just getting over the virus, and he said it was a nasty one. He's a healthy guy, too. So he said, you don't want this bad boy, was his comment. It's and he walked me through all the different things. Thought he had it, kind of came back and hit him hard later. This is a bad virus. There's no doubt about it. But the strange thing, I'm going to talk a little bit about this with it, is that for some people, they show no signs. Very, very interesting. I guess in some ways it's people, probably the medical doctors. My wife, as a nurse, would probably tell me that's just like the flu. That's like all viruses. They don't affect everybody the same way. But it does seem amazing that in one circumstance, even a healthy person like him, know that it really knocked him, right? And he happened to be with 4 people in close quarters. 2 of them got sick, 2 didn't. How? Right? I mean, the virus was everywhere around all 4 of them. 2 of them get it, 2 don't. Different. I mean, it just seems odd. So that's an aside. I'm sure there's some reason why, but this virus is weird. By the way, I read this very long study, if you will, just a discussion about various studies out there, analyzing the numbers, and it's very good. And I reference it periodically. So if somebody wants that, all you have to do is send me an email. We will PDF back to you that article. It's not 2 paragraphs or 1 page of, a synopsis. It's much longer. I'm not saying it's a book. I found it, you can't put it down kind of thing, where you're just going, wow, this is incredibly detailed and very logical thought to me. So in the midst of everything, I'm referencing this. I will reference this. I want you to know at petsofinancial.com, you can shoot us an email. You already have my email, dave@petsofinancial.net. You can certainly use that as well. But let us know or give us a call. We are actually considered an essential service, and although we're being careful and we're not having clients in right now, we're still in and engaged every day. So I'm happy to send that out if people are looking for another source. I'm always asked on this, hey, what do you read? What do you look at? And it's sometimes it's hard to know. I think sometimes you read things and they come from a source that you trust as a vetted source. You know what I mean? Something that, like, okay, I can take a look at this. I'm not necessarily believing everything, but I can take a look at this because the people that came from, I trust their thinking, right? You know what I'm saying? They're not biased on things. And that's very important to me, to try to find unbiased not pre-filtered information that's good. So anyway, if you want that, let me know. But I found myself this week thinking about this a lot, and with myself, the people around me. And as I talked about it with people, I found it very interesting because there was a lot of that. There was a lot of this, you know, it's like, so Jennifer Stone, you know, she does the program here from time to time, and Erica with Erica, and then Tom Brown's been around for ages too. So we're kind of like, Erica is with child, so she isn't in at all, right? She's been remote for a long time, and we're talking about it, and it's like, gosh, you know, we miss seeing you. Well, you ought to see this belly of mine and all that. It's, you know, we miss the family, right? It's not the same just to talk on the phone. It's not. It's not the same. And so we miss each other. And then we're talking about this and talking about the idea that, you know, I've worked with Jennifer for 25 years. Well, I'm not supposed to see her for a month. This doesn't sound right. Right, and so we're kind of rotating through and trying to keep really 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 distant, and to do our part, but it makes it hard. And I found myself periodically having to tell myself, "Quit being grouchy today." I mean, I'm noticing it. Right, it's not one time a day you wake up and go, "Thank you, Lord, I'm off and going, and I'm healthy today," and boom, and that takes care of it all, because it doesn't, because everything is just beaten down on us. Right. So then the market opens up and it goes down, and then people are scared and nervous and frustrated, and they've been watching the news. They can't see their grandkids. They're worried about their future. Come on. This is what real life is right now. It isn't sunshine and roses. It's just flipping hard. It's hard. And just having that little bit of sunshine isn't enough. We need to remind ourselves all the time. People are frustrated and angry. And we do have to give grace to each other and to ourselves. We need to find patience within ourselves. We do. And I think, too, that even as we were, I alluded to this in the last hour, it's different. Everybody's different. You know, if you think about it, 2 months ago, if you're walking or running down the green belt and you see somebody coming at you, they wave and smile. They're not right now. They're not flipping you off or something, but it's different. They look away. Everybody looks away. It's like, am I in New York City? Right? You know what I mean. People are in a big cities are more distant. They don't look at people. Or they pretend not to be. It's different. It's angrier. Account values are down. Social circles are busted. We can't even see members of our family in many cases. I have clients that haven't left the house in a month. They have compromised issues. The kids leave groceries on the porch. No kidding. Can you imagine not even seeing the sunshine? That's hard duty. That's solitary confinement. It takes work, too. The more we get into that, the harder it is. I shared this story. We went out to Swan Falls and hiked around. Swan Falls. It's like, you know, I've lived here for 40 years. I haven't been to Swan Falls. I know those folks that love Swan Falls are probably not exactly thrilled with me right now. Because, you know, you don't want to say, oh, this is really, it's pretty close to town. It's only 40 minutes out, yada, yada. Go there. But what we've got is a test. This is just hard. And when people think that you can sit there and watch the doom and gloom, you have a sick friend, a sick family member, and not have all of this negativity impact you, you're wrong. You're wrong. dead wrong. Because it does. It infects our thinking. People think about, I'm going to be fine. I know better than to sell my investments. I talked to a client Friday. And I'm telling you, I think he was the one of my first, if not first. Okay? That's 37 years ago. 38 years ago. Met them. They were clients. I mean, I was 20 years old. And they've been clients ever since. Never look at their accounts. Have a pension, two pensions. I mean, these guys are, they've got, what do you want to say? A moat around their castle. Pensions that are coming in more every month than they need. Never had any problem. Go through the crash of 87. Go through the 2000 meltdown. Go through the financial crisis in 08. And he calls on Friday. And yeah, they're in their 80s. Now they're scared about an insignificant amount of money. And I don't mean it's insignificant like you throw it away. I mean it's insignificant to their lifestyle. They don't use it. It's just there for the kids. It's there. And there's gobs of money. They will never use that money for anything. And they're scared. They're not alone. This infects our thinking. Every day. It buries us, and we have to start thinking about it. I mean, it's like you look at each other, you hear stories of, I mean, phenomenal families that on a nice walk, right? The kids are tired of it. The kids are fighting. The kids can't see their friends. They can't go to school. Well, I hate school anyway. That was what we said because you wanted to be a cool kid. But kids need kids. They need school. They need structure. So do we. So do we. We all do. We're being tested. Our very soul is. Optimists like me we're getting worn out. We got to remind ourselves. This isn't the end. I know, I heard the Doors song in my head too there. But can we endure? Of course we can, and most will. We'll just tell ourselves, no, not here. I'm not selling here. I'm not succumbing to this. But it's also good for our soul to pull away. Just to get a little bit of news, but don't sit around and count dead bodies. You know how the news is reported. Let's just pretend this is a real number. I don't know what the number is. There's 20 hospitals, big hospitals in Manhattan, New York City area. Okay? There's probably 100. I don't know. Just call it 20. And many of them actually are, you know, the doctors are not there. Why? Because they can't do any procedures except coronavirus. I mean, there's empty beds everywhere. The hospital ship has, what, 14 patients or something like that on it? I wonder how many are at the makeshift hospitals that they've put up. None, I suppose. But here's what the news is going to show you. One overwhelmed hospital that can't get enough fill in the blank. That has a nurse that's been working for 16 hours. That's what you're going to see over and over. Not generally what's happening. I'm not saying it's all good, but I'm just saying it affects our thinking. It totally does. Totally does. We can't take this all in every single day and expect it to not affect us. It does. We have to remind ourselves and tune it off, turn it off, find your happy spot, find a nice movie, find a great song. We'll put one out there. Hey, Jennifer, put that on our website. That was too funny, if you're listening. That was so funny. Coronavirus Rhapsody, not by Queen, of course, but very funny. That would be a great, fun thing for people to hear. And yes, there are heroes out there. There are wonderful people out there. We're going to get through this. The numbers are changing. They do show that. I'm not trying to do a happy dance here. Just remind you that this isn't at all over. This has not taken us down. Not a chance. Not a chance. And it's not going to go on for another year. Virus might. There might be people have to hunker down in some way, shape, or form. We might have to walk around with masks, but we're going to get back to life way before then. We will. We have to, and we will. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, and or our email is dave@petsofinancial.net. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, we've been doing some calls, talking about, I think we started with Hope was one of our calls that we did to our clients, and we've done them a couple of times. Then we also, what else did we do? Oh, yeah, the credit markets. That was interesting because that's so incredibly important, as we've talked about here. And we did a call on that as well, and then just take some questions for about 40 minutes. And we were talking about it. I don't think we have any particular limit to the number of people on there. So if you're interested, we're going to talk this week about the new IRA rules and things like that that allow people to not pull money out of their required minimum distributions and some of the strategies that would go with that. And then, of course, we just talk a little bit about what's going on in the markets as well and take questions. If you would like to do that, you need to let us know. Just if that's something you want to do, we do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays a couple times. And we just thought during this very difficult time, we would go ahead and open that up to non-clients as well. So if you do, give us a call, shoot us an email. We'll be happy to give you the link. Okay, and that's petsofinancial.com, dave@petsofinancial.net, or you could just call us, 853-2000. Okay? All right, let's go ahead and jump on the phones. Bob, go ahead, please. Hello?
Hello?
Bob, are you there?
Oh, hi, Dave. Yeah, I didn't catch the first part of that. Yeah, this is Bob. We'd spoken again earlier
yes.
this morning. After we spoke, I happened to read the Press Tribune, and on the front page of the paper this morning, there's an article stating that the state Supreme Court, in its infinite wisdom, has put all eviction proceedings on hold till, I believe, the 15th of May. You know, what other business is going to be expected to provide its services and then get paid maybe down the road 6 weeks? You know, that just seems totally unreasonable to me.
Well, it is. I have to agree with you in your first call that for some reason, we just don't think of the landlord as a viable or just the same as going to the store. It's a very fair point,
yeah.
Bob, and I'm gonna actually be thinking about that. I don't have a good answer for you. It's just like it's
yeah.
okay to beat up on them, but it's not okay to expect to walk out of a store without free food.
You know, and the landlord does not set rent. I don't set rents.
No.
You know, the rent is set by the market. The
right.
rent goes up, and as we've seen in the past, it goes down.
Yep.
And this just seems like a very arbitrary, unreasonable thing.
It really is, Bob. We need to find relief, but that doesn't mean on the backs of other people. That's for sure. Thank you for your comment. That's a fair point.
Have a good day, Dave.
You do the
Bye.
Same. Take care. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to Terry. Terry, go ahead, please.
Morning, Professor.
Good morning, Terry.
I just wanted to put across something that I've said to all three brokers I've had in my life here.
Yeah.
It's only money.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
you know, I don't know where it changed along the pike here, but people are really not entitled to all the things that government's convinced them they're entitled to.
Yeah,
They need to go out and root hog or die a little bit and make do.
I think you're right, Terry. I think that I'm not sure that if this wasn't an election year and the politics weren't as divisive as they are now, that we wouldn't take a step back and deal with this a little differently.
Yeah, I've been working on my budget a little bit, and this last week, well, I'm not spending money like I used to, so I've got leftovers. And so I went down to Andrade's and dropped a small wad into the donation box so they can keep feeding people. My barista has been getting $20 tips.
Yeah.
that money you want to invest for me, you know, that $3 a day thing. But just going out and spreading it around on an individual basis instead of expecting the government to come in on their white horse and save the day all the time.
Yeah.
It's more fun to go out and do it yourself.
Well, it is. And you know what, Terry? I this reminded me of something, and I'm going to share it because I shared it last week, and I something kind of hit me this past week. For those of you that have faith, then you can call it a prompting, and those of you that don't, that's fine. Then it was a gas pain. But I had a very strong feeling that in the midst of the doom, it was a really rough day. It really was. And I wasn't, you know, I was just, man, I can't wait for the weekend. It was probably Tuesday, right? You know, the weekend's never coming, right? I just want the market shut for a while. That would be great for me. It'd be great for all of us, frankly. But the point is that you're just trying to get through this right now, and we're walking forward, and you get worn out, right? And so all of a sudden I realized it's like, you know, I have these two things I've been intending to do. And they both require checks, not small checks. They require large checks to a church I know that is struggling and an organization, I'll just say, the Boise Rescue Mission. And
yep.
They need it bad, bad, bad. So I not only had planned today to at least encourage people to think about it, think about these organizations that are just simply serving, and we're all worried about the next where we're going. I get that. But there's just something of, like you said, that just changes how you feel. And it's much more fun. You're right. But when I wrote those checks, I was like, wow, I feel great. And it's true. You know, instead, it's like fighting fear by running into the fire, right? It's like, we're all afraid of running out of money. Okay, then write a check, right? It's the opposite. It's kind of counterintuitive. And I think that it helped me to have that fear exacerbated. And you just reminded me of just that outreach that people have in different places, right? Whether the employee here, the barista there, all those things where people are being very generous. And it matters.
Yeah. We go back to Bob. Now, you don't give away your rent check. But if you've got a little extra, what the heck? You know, why not?
Yeah, yeah.
When? Yeah, you make it a steady habit to do that, and it becomes just that, a habit.
Yeah, yeah. But the expectation that the government's going to bail them out, or somebody else going to take care of the folks out there that can't take care of themselves at the rescue mission, is wrong assumption. I think we all need to step up in a time like this.
Now, and by the way, tongue firmly in cheek here.
Uh-huh.
Sell everything.
Oh. All right, you're done. Have a nice day.
Right.
Goodbye.
See you later,
goodbye,
sir.
You've lost your usefulness now. Go away, man. Thanks, Terry.
Bye, David.
Bye now. All right. And you know what? Let's just keep rolling here because Craig rang in earlier. Craig, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave. Hey, I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time. I'm a typical Idahoan. My wife and I talked to you back in July because she was getting ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a typical Idahoan that worked for a living with my hands and lived in a state that, a right-to-work state there, where you didn't have any retirement. All you had was a paycheck. So mm-hmm. I'm one of those guys that live paycheck to paycheck. Thank goodness that my wife had a decent job that had a retirement, and and whatnot, and so forth. But this has got to be the world's worst time to retire.
Mm.
And so I'm full of anxiety and, mm-hmm. and depression over this market, the way this thing's going, because she's got to roll over her 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And so she set April 1st as her retirement date because everybody said at her place of work, well, if you do it on the 1st, then your insurance is good through the month. We're in the situation where the insurance isn't doing us any good because all our doctor's appointments and procedure appointments have been canceled.
Yep.
So that was a wrong move. And then we're thinking, and even talking to Erica and you, mm-hmm. we're thinking that when she retires, money's going to get rolled over soon. And then we find out that because we went into one day into the second quarter, we can't roll the money over until the end of the second quarter. And then as much as a month after that, so we're looking at the end of July before we have any distributions to help live on. And I'm going, what else could happen?
Right.
You can't go to the grocery store and buy TP or paper towels.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's hoarded it. And you got to get up at 4 in the morning and be at the door at 7 or 8 o'clock and go through the group rush.
Mm.
And so what else, and you say, don't listen to the news. And every time we talk to you or Erica, it's, oh, just hang in there. Everything will be fine. Don't worry about it. Everything will work. Well, we didn't start looking at our balance on the 401k until getting close to retirement a year or so before.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see how it's grown, and now you see how it's depleting.
Yeah.
It's pretty depressing.
It's very depressing. It's a very hard thing to do, and you are retiring at the wrong time. That's exactly right. And of course, relying on something that is moving around is an incredibly difficult thing to do.
Well, when you're past the age of retirement, my poor wife worked age 71. She just turned 71 in February. And when people say, well, hang in there, it'll turn around, and it'll come back. Well, yeah, if you're 60 years old, mm-hmm. or maybe even 65, but at 71, you don't have much time.
Yeah, I understand, and it is that feeling, and there is that feeling as I talked about there. Even if you do say and remind yourself that things will get better, you have to keep doing it every day. But it does seem sound kind of hollow. And I do mean don't watch the news. You can't, because it's constantly bad. And as I pointed out, it is also pointedly about what's really not working, right? You can have 9 out of 10 things working just fine. Which one do you think they're going to be reporting?
So, well, I understand that.
But I'm just saying our own...
There's the fake mainstream news, and then even the news that we thought wasn't lying to us, you catch them.
Yeah.
You catch them just dwelling on the negative to make a show.
Correct.
And so who in the H do you listen to?
Well, you have to look at everything through the lens of, if you can't. I mean, it's hard to do. I don't know how you naturally go, okay, that's one hospital.
Let me tell you a little piece of interesting truth. I've listened to you for years, or I haven't listened to you for years. Whenever you came on the radio, because I was just a hand-to-mouth, paycheck-to-paycheck kind of job in my whole life in this wonderful state that we had a beautiful lifestyle in that we all paid for it by working for half price. Now, mm-hmm. now we're all basically still working for half price here, but we don't have the lifestyle we used to have because the state's getting overrun by people getting away from the mobs.
Right.
And so I was the kind of guy that whenever your show came on, because I didn't have any future. I didn't have any retirement. I didn't have anything. The first thing I did is reach for the dial and turn you off,
mm-hmm.
because I was a regular, typical Idahoan paycheck to paycheck kind of guy. Now that my wife worked so many years that she built something up, then I started getting interested in it, and I'm going yippee, and now it's you know we can't just survive on Social Security.
No, you don't want to.
Even though ours are pretty well maximum, because the cost of the inflation rate and everything going to eat us alive.
Correct. Craig, I'm kind of backed up on I'm a little over here, and I don't want to cut you off, but I'm going to ask you to do this.
No,
I'm going to ask you to do this, please. So we're in, and we can conference in, and I think it's more than time to do that and to talk to you specifically about the circumstances. And although Eric and I are not in the same room, we can pretend to be over the phone, and I think that you and your wife and the two of us need to visit.
We've talked several times, plus I got in on your conference call
the other day. Well,
that's
good.
My wife from work earlier.
Good.
That day.
Well, join us next week as well, but just because we're in touch. But I do want to walk through your individual circumstances. Again, it's not okay to just say it's going to be okay. Because, like I said, this is a real test for all of us.
Well, April 1 thing, and then having to wait for the end of the second quarter.
I know.
Her employer didn't advise us of that. You didn't have any clue of that. It's like we were blindsided by it.
Correct. But that also doesn't mean we can't look at what the funds are in your 401k and make sure that we have enough stuff set aside no matter what happens here. And that I think is probably happening, but we would need to make sure and do that. So don't hesitate to call.
You still take personal calls? You still take calls?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all day long.
Okay.
I'm in the office. Erica's in her office at home. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to, of course, stay apart, but we are definitely working, and we're working way more than 40 hours a week. Okay.
Well, this is so serious. I had to go see a counselor.
Absolutely.
Because I got such high anxiety over it.
Yep.
And so depressed over it. I had to go seek professional help.
Good for you. I'm glad you did. I mean it.
So okay. Well, I'll try to get to you sometime, and maybe you can.
No.
Maybe you can.
Do it Monday.
Calm us down a little bit.
Put it down. Put us down on Monday. Let's talk. We'll
okay,
set it up
thanks,
even
thanks.
For a couple days later or whatever, but we'll figure it out. Call our office on Monday.
Okay? I will.
Good.
Bye.
Okay, God bless. We'll talk soon. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Give us a call. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Jim, you're up to bat next, and we've got three lines available. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, if I don't get your emails today, don't worry about it. We'll answer them. I'll get to it, and I always appreciate it. We just have had a lot of calls, and we always prioritize calls, as you well understand. Our number again, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Morning again, Dave.
Good morning. You. You.
Well, I was hoping my call would follow Terry's. Now I'm depressed. But anyway.
You mean Craig, I think. Yeah.
No, Terry. Craig was depressed me.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I mean, I'm an advocate of old sayings. You know, tomorrow is not promised to anybody. It's promised to no one. But then how about the song from Annie? The sun will come out tomorrow, so you got to hang on till tomorrow, come what may, etc.
Yes.
But earlier you were talking about people's attitudes and, you know, they don't look at you and they don't smile. Well, my experience has been different. In my neighborhoods toward the airport, South Boise, mm-hmm. I mean, I ride my bicycle. I'll pass older people, some with a walker, you know. I'll say hi to them and they'll say hi and wave to me. Younger people walking their dogs, same thing. So it seems in my neighborhood the attitude is pretty good.
I would agree with that, Jim, and I didn't mean it universal. What it was a green belt, because running around in our neighborhood has been a completely different experience. Everybody does say hello, and they do. They really do. Not people you know, just people that you pass by. So it is different. I think when you're down in the green belt, it's more of a, you know, if you will, the public place. But we thought it was we both noticed it. We both noticed it as we were jogging. And it always reminded me that when you're out there with people who are out in doing things, they're always happy. And that's why we noticed it, because they
weren't. Well, I mean, that's why the sun is so valuable.
It is.
Now, you know, a lot of things, you know, you come out and the medical establishment will tell you you're going to get skin cancer. But, I mean, you know, we've got to have the sun. It's gloomy without the sun.
It is. We need it, and people need it. Get out of your houses. I just keep urging people. I know even if you're compromised, you have to be careful. Just stay at a distance, even if you get out and in your neighborhood and walk. It's just it's so important. It's so,
absolutely.
So important.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you have a nice discussion with Craig and help him. And take care. Have a great weekend.
You
and
do the same.
Next week.
All right. You too. Thanks for the call, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Have a lot of questions and thoughts about what you're thinking about the directions that the pharmaceutical industries will be taking in the future. Is there ever moral concerns that come up for boards of directors, or if you're a stockholder, that, geez, we may not make as much money if we pull our production back onshore from offshore? You've been to so many meetings over the years of listening to all these folks talk. What do you think is going to happen with our pharmaceutical industry and making sure drugs are now made in America? And can the bottom line still work out?
Mm-hmm.
Or what do you think is going to happen? What changes will we see, if any?
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic question. Bob, let me tackle it on two sides, okay? The answer is yes. It's going to change. It's totally going to change. That's number one. It is going to change because we know now we can't trust China at all about anything. And I think we knew that, but I think this proved it. So, number one, we have to have that brought back. But here's the other reason why, even if you just think of it from a purely business perspective. It's coming back because America is business-friendly for the first time in a long, 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 long time. We can't be the highest tax rate in the world and expect corporations to stay here. We demand that they can't get approval for their drugs in a reasonable amount of time. So go elsewhere to, I'm sorry, not the drugs, but the equipment and how you produce them. Get out there and produce it in a clean environment and all those things. It's not that Mexico, where a lot of drug manufacturing and medical device stuff is done, is dirty. It still has to be certified, but they are there, they're quicker, and they can get the factories up and going quicker. This is what's going to change as a regulatory environment to be favorable, to allow companies to come back here and not tax them to death on their production. It's very, very friendly, and if we stay there, I mean, I realize that Biden, for example, wants to repeal the tax law that brought corporations back and is bringing them back, and he wants them to leave again. That's bad, and I don't think it'll happen even if he is the president. But that would be a terrible thing, and it would, if we did regress, then we would not see industry come back to the United States. We would not. So I think that's what's changing, both the reality that there are other costs to doing business in China that you don't know, theft of technology, all of the things that go along with it, the lack of trust, the supply chain can be broken, tariffs, all those other issues that we've dealt with, and the fact that they're just bad actors. So we have to think about it in that sense and say there is additional cost. So are we more profitable to be in America? Yes, we are, because there's rule of law. There's clean energy. There's abundant energy. There's a lot of reasons why that we should do business here. And it doesn't just mean America or China. There's lots of places in the world, and I'm sure those factories will continue. But yes, they're coming back, and it's not just because we need to have a secure supply chain. It's because it's better to do business in America today. It wasn't 4 years ago.
So do you think the pharmaceutical industry is thinking this way?
All industries are.
Or there's still going to be a struggle?
All of them are. It's really true. You know, it's not one of those things where you're just seeing Trump go out there and is made in America and we're going to make it great again and all those things that he says. And it's great. He's a great cheerleader in that regard. But the reality is they are coming back. And the supply chains with the tariffs have been greatly disrupted. If you really want to know what set us up for this best, it was the tariffs, right? We were more ready for this and have pulled away from China, have different supply chains around the world than we have had before this. And that's a whole happenstance, by luck and all those things. But the reality is that is exactly what happened.
So the changes, yes, there's governmental stuff to get through, but do you think the changes 5 years, 10 years, as soon as possible, or things will start happening and then it'll go back to how things were?
No. That's not going to go back to the way things were. No way, because we're another few spins of the world, maybe past my lifetime, for another one of these or another different thing happening that you can't trust China. They're our great enemy, and we know that. We know that they are. So why would we want to only do business with them? We do not, and we will not. It's changed. And I believe, as far as the eye can see, it's changed.
So how long can it take to make the changes?
How long
can
it take?
How soon can they happen? 5 years?
It is already happening. But as far as the pharmaceutical, sure. If you're talking about full, what I'm talking about, and I always do, I'm talking about directionally, right? Where are we headed, right? This is where we already have been heading. This is just going to continue and accelerate, in my opinion. This is another reason to hurry up and get that factory moved out of China. It's just another reason. But they already are. Now, do I think it'll speed up? Of course. And in some critical industries, it's going to happen very quickly. Very quickly. You know, and even if that might be mandated. I don't know that it has to be. I think practical makes it mandated. But we'll see.
So I understand that in Europe and other countries, they come up with drugs and they put them out, but they're not accepted by our FDA. Is it just the bureaucracy? I mean, a scientist is a scientist, and I'm sure they talk. And
they do.
So do you think the bureaucracy has really been holding up the United States over the past decades?
Oh,
or have we kind of been on the right road until now something's happened traumatic, and now they'll wake up and they will change and be in line with Switzerland and Germany and everybody else is already using certain drugs and we're not?
Yeah, I think we're already using most all the drugs that are available in the world, but we do have a higher bar of testing. There's no doubt about that. But it's not like... there's major pharmaceutical firms all over the world. Roche is not U.S. based, and it's huge. It's one of the ones working on the therapeutics right now. Israel is a huge biotech hotbed, and there are many, many others around the world. But what I'm saying is that we don't ignore their science at all. It's just that we do have a lot of problems bureaucratically getting things done here. And they do over there, too. They're worse than we are. But as far as manufacturing, bringing it back, having some of the laws that Trump has put in immediately, just to dictate, right, to say, hey, look, if you want to try this trial, do this trial, Rush Limbaugh famously is going through trials right now. It's his choice. He's dying. If we don't do this, that's his choice. And if it does kill him, so be it. That's what his feeling is. And I don't mean it in any negative way. But by golly, isn't that every human's right? If I'm already dying, give me that thing and I'll try it. I don't need you to wait 5 years and going through animal trials. So I guess it is changing for sure. Bob, I'm so sorry. I backed up on our final break. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I've got these calls. We'll try to rip right through them as quick as we possibly can. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I wish we had another hour together at least. Just feels good today. Feels like we could all talk and use a little bit of group therapy for sure. Thank you for joining us. I will see how well this goes because we're going to try to get these last couple calls in before we're done for the day. Lisa, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry. I know we got to do this quick.
No,
my friend's on Social Security, and he does side jobs throughout the year, and he makes, maybe $5,000 throughout the year, $6,000 throughout the year. Will he still get the check from Trump?
Yes, everybody with Social Security is going to get a check if you make less than, I believe it's something like $100,000 a year.
Oh, awesome. Okay, I hadn't seen that yet.
Yes.
Okay, and it doesn't sound like you have time for anything else.
Nope,
I wanted
go
to
for
ask
it.
You
go
something
for
about
it.
My 401k.
Yep, go. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I quit my job in 2018, and I left my 401k at my job. I mean, there's only about $50,000 in it, maybe more, maybe less, actually more. But what do I do to get that without getting penalized? I mean, not take the money out, but what do I do to
What do I do with it?
You just do it. You do what's called a qualified rollover, and it just goes from there into your own IRA, and then you can have it invested, do what you think is most appropriate, generate a little income, take it out. You have command of it, okay? So it's real easy to do, and it's a completely tax-free exchange. If you have any questions on it, give us a call next week. It's real. It's super simple to do, Lisa.
Okay. I've just never done it. And
I know.
My husband says
it's over,
invest
it's,
it all.
It,
or
it's
not
over.
Invest it, but put it with stock trade. I think that's who he uses or whoever it is. But can I ask one other thing or do you have time?
Yep, go.
Okay. Another thing is I was vested in the company. I mean, that's only about 2,500, maybe $3,000 by now.
Okay.
Do I still get that money? Do you know, or I got to talk to them?
You do, but you'll have to check with them because it could be in anything and it might be stock based or the price of the company. And you might have to wait till once a year liquidation. There's a lot of things that go with that. Call the company and also get the rollover paperwork at the same time. You have to do that through your employer. Okay.
Okay.
All
so
right.
Just look into that. Okay. You're awesome. I love listening to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Yep, take care.
Bye. And you know what? We're going to, Wayne, I'm going to grab you off air, okay? Because I apologize, but there's no reason to take a 30-second phone call here. Really not. And those of you who send emails, I appreciate it, and I will get to those, or I'm going to hold them till next week. You'll know either way. I'll get to those over the weekend. I'm going to have to bail out of here now, so I can't really take care of them right off the bat. So I appreciate you giving me a little bit of time with those. If you have any comments or questions, we do encourage you, if you just need to talk as well. That's at petsofinancial.com. We are there. It's 208-853-2000, and all of us are there. We've got four certified financial planners. It's just, you know, if you need some discussion, just let us know. We're here for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. God bless.